Hi, everyone. My name is Erica Raggett. I am the founder and executive director of A Second Cup. As many of you know, one of the major tenets of our mission is to educate the public about human trafficking. Over the past several months, we have been broadening this educational component and exploring some of the issues that intersect with and may often contribute to human trafficking. So this month, we've been looking at education and its importance in helping to prevent human trafficking. Today, I am excited to be here with a good friend and fellow educator, Carlos Marquina. Hi, Carlos. Thank you for being here with us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Carlos, I would love to get started by hearing a little more of your story. So what do you teach and how did you get into the field of education?
Okay, well, I teach, I'm teaching AP language and literature this year, so that's English for 11th and 12th graders. But for the past 6 years, I've taught ninth grade English. I teach at Easterly College High School in the East End here in Houston. And I got into education actually a long way back. I started working for the YMCA when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And as I worked in the YMCA, I started working summer camps and then became a program director, running youth programs, summer camps, and things like that. And that's I attribute that as my beginning of being in education, even though it wasn't in the classroom.
Yeah.
And then I've finished college, studied, did my master's in literature. And then seven years ago, I started teaching high school. I started at Sam Rayburn High School in Pasadena. And then 2 years ago, I made the move to HISD and at Easterly College.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for doing this work. I think there are a lot of people who don't realize the importance of teachers and all of the many things that they're doing outside of just teaching students content. We actually talk a lot in the anti-trafficking space about the importance of educators and other school staff as kind of the first line of defense in helping to prevent human trafficking. So I'm curious, as an educator, what kind of training or learning have you been exposed to about human trafficking?
Well, for human trafficking, we really don't get any training. I mean, even thinking about, you know, it's the beginning of the school year and we have to do a lot of professional development at the beginning of the year. And we talk about child abuse and we talk about, you know, different things that children and that our students could go through. But human trafficking is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually became aware of the issue back when I worked for the YMCA, and that was because the International YMCA has, even way back then, they've always been involved in programs with refugees and with immigrants and battling human trafficking mm-hmm. since then.
Yeah. So based on what you learned at the YMCA, are there any circumstances that you see your students experiencing that you believe could increase their vulnerability to trafficking or exploitation?
I do. I've worked, so in the time that I've been in school education, I've worked for schools that are low socioeconomic, 93 to 97% Hispanic population. So we see a lot of recent immigrants, you know, and knowing that, I mean, I've met students whose parents and whose families still owe money for, mm-hmm. to coyotes or for whoever brought them to the U.S. So those are things that I'm aware of, knowing that, you know, every circumstance is different, you know, but that is something that I'm aware of, and just getting to know the students and see what their situations are,
mm-hmm.
But just kind of being aware that could be a possibility for some of them or for their families.
Right. Yeah, we've been exploring a lot of different issues and circumstances that intersect with human trafficking, like immigration and racial inequity and poverty and the criminal justice system. And I wonder if you can speak to how you think education and the school system can play a role in addressing these issues and hopefully thereby minimizing these vulnerabilities to exploitation.
Well, the good thing is that there is a bigger movement now towards social emotional learning. And those are components that a lot of schools and HISD as a district itself is really making that push to helping students, not just academically, but also in social and emotional, their social emotional needs. The thing is that there's not really like set curriculum or things like that. It's kind of left up to some of the school social workers and some of the teachers to come up with those things, or even the school principal. But for instance, at our school, we do have a period every day where it's kind of advocacy or things that we can, you know, things of that nature. And so a lot of the times students themselves bring up issues that they're interested in learning. And then we as teachers can help them develop that or we bring up a subject or a topic with students and have them explore that topic, and then they get involved, especially in high school when we start getting students, you know, especially going into their junior, senior year, and they're getting more independence. They want to start working in the community. They're able to vote. Mm-hmm. It's just things that we want to make sure that as they're leaving high school, that they are informed citizens, mm-hmm. Or informed community members, and that they're able to really see what some of those issues are in their communities.
Yeah, that's such an important role of education, is to help create citizens of our country who can just work towards its betterment. So I know we talked a little bit in the beginning about, you know, all of the different roles that a teacher plays, both in teaching students, but also developing relationships with students and safeguarding kids. And so I'm wondering, I know that the pandemic has changed so many aspects of teaching, including the way that we safeguard kids. And so how has that changed the way that you might recognize and respond to potential red flags for human trafficking or for child abuse or for any of those things that teachers are always constantly looking out for in the classroom?
Well, I've got to admit that since the pandemic hit and we went to online learning in March, that my phone calls home have really like gone up exponentially. You know, I've always been pretty good at calling parents and having that communication, and especially having the communication with students. But now that we've moved to virtual learning and I don't necessarily see the kids every day, you know, even with us, we're on a block schedule, so I don't necessarily have the students every day, but I would see them at school every mm-hmm. day, right? And so talk to them in the hallway and check up on them, see how they're doing. And so now it's really even more vital for teachers to communicate with the students. So that if they miss their class online, calling them and, hey, was your internet down or what's going on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then the flags a lot of times that I see, and again, especially with high school kids, when they're like, if they're working too much, right. Mm-hmm. If they have other responsibilities at home, you know, a lot of times I dig into that and just to see, you know, it could just be that they're working or that they're helping their family. But then it's also like, you know, sometimes when a 14, 15 year old has to work, mm-hmm. that to me raises a big flag of like, okay, there something may be going on, mm-hmm. right? Like if it's that much of a need that the child is not getting their schooling because they have to help the family. You know, and sometimes it could just be that there's underemployment or that there's, you know, a parent lost a job. So the kid has to help out at home. But other times it could be a sign of, of some bigger debts that need to be paid by the family, or somebody is exploiting them, or and potentially exploiting the student or the child, right? So that's really where I start kind of asking deeper questions, and if necessary, call CPS, or get my principals involved. One thing that I love about my principal is she has no problem making house visits, and go checking up on students, especially if we haven't heard from them. Especially right now in virtual, it's even that's become more difficult. But we still do home visits if we haven't heard from a kid in a couple days, and go check out, do welfare checks and things like that.
Yeah, I'm gosh, that's so much to juggle. Having to figure out this virtual learning and then those additional phone calls and trying to build relationships with students, that's just so much to juggle. Do you feel like there are any resources or policies or support that you're lacking, that could help you better educate and protect students?
Well, one thing that I would like to see, just like we have like drug awareness, we have Dare a Week and we have things like that. And even like I said, with more of the social emotional learning, I would like to see more curriculum and resources that are intentional and really set in stone for human trafficking. And for other issues that we have, right? That it's basically non-negotiable that we are going to teach about this subject, and at least have the awareness out there. And also, not just for the awareness aspect, but where I'm at a pretty small school, so it's hard for our students to hide from us because our ratios are pretty good. And but when I think of like when I was at a previous high school with close to 4,000 students, even though yes, there were, there's a lot more teachers and staff, it's so much easier for a child to go unnoticed, or especially in communities that are known to have a lot of migration, and kids coming in and out. So, just to be able to have something in the curriculum and something set in place that we can catch those things and give students the opportunity to speak out and feel safe, because a lot of times they're at least from the education I've gotten from the Second Cup and the things that we've worked with on together is that sometimes the threats are too much for the victim to overcome, right? Like, they know that if they speak out, there's going to be retribution, and it's not. So a lot of times the victim just stays silent for their own safety. So if that resource or that space and that those relationships aren't built, then the problem continues, unnoticed.
Yeah, I think teaching kids about human trafficking, the earlier we can do that and talk to them honestly and openly about it, the more impact that will have for sure. What is the best action step you could ask our community to take in supporting educators like yourself, as you work to keep students safe?
I would say volunteering at local schools is a really important action step. I think getting more people who are in that line of work, in those lines of work of awareness and things like that, to come into the schools and give presentations and actually going beyond just giving a presentation, right? Like actually working alongside students to get them involved and doing some long-term projects that the students could really be involved in and feel some ownership of, that they can continue developing and basically be allies in the fight.
Yeah, Yeah, I love that. Well, Carlos, I know that this time in the school year can be one of the most stressful times for teachers, and I'm sure that with all the changes foisted upon you, as a result of the pandemic, have only added to that heavy burden. So I want to say thank you for the incredibly important work that you do day in and day out. And also thank you for spending a few minutes talking with me today. I wish you all the best for the year ahead.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure, and as a true educator, it's really a privilege and a joy to talk about these issues and basically spread knowledge, right, and awareness. So I thank you for giving me the opportunity for that.
Yeah, thank you.